Chapter 2, Strength. From Why Is He in Charge? To I Really Admire That. Have you ever wondered why anybody would want to follow another student? Answers to this question are as varied as people's preferences regarding people. I can always count on him to do exactly what he says. I just don't know what she's going to do next. It's exciting. I can just tell she really appreciates who I am and all I bring to the table. He blasts through difficulties, so I'm confident we'll come out on top. If you're on your toes, you may have noticed that each of those four response categories matches one type within the Fabulous Four. Conveniently, we will explore those four personality types in sequence within this chapter. Prepare to be blasted on all sides with thought-provoking questions, quotations, anecdotes, and challenges as you take this introspective journey into your core strengths. In this chapter, you learn how to capitalize upon your unique existing strengths and begin incorporating new strengths into your repertoire. Specifically, you'll discover 1. What makes you so captivating? 2. How to discover your personal wellspring of leadership strength. 3. Which strengths flow naturally within the four different types of people? 4. Easy techniques to enjoy the best of all four worlds. 5. How to align and sharpen your strengths for optimal performance. What is it about you? Why are you just so fly? Why do people listen to what you say and put up with your directives? If they don't, stick with this chapter and we'll figure that out as well. You may have never asked yourself these questions. Perhaps it seems a bit conceited. Let's talk about why I'm great. Liberate yourself from any such thoughts of pride or vanity. You are undertaking an exercise with the purpose of enriching your organization, not boosting your ego. If you find it hard to say great things about yourself, try an old trick that publishers use when trying to persuade publishers that they are qualified to write the book. Use the third person. You may find it easier to say, "Jane really knows how to listen," rather than, "I really know how to listen." Odds are there's something you do pretty well and people know it. One good way to go about discovering your strengths is to ask yourself some key questions about what you're particularly good at and passionate about. What follows is a mega list to help you do just that. What sort of stuff comes easily to me but seems to confound others? What kinds of activities and tasks do others seem incompetent at performing, in my opinion? On what portions of standardized tests and assessments have I usually dominated? Where do I perform at my peak? Where have I received particular praise and adulation for doing stuff that seemed like no big deal to me? Where does my mind go and play when it's not doing anything? What sorts of weird thoughts do I have regularly? What environments excite and motivate me? Where do I feel like I'm on top of the world? What's my turf? And what sort of classes do I set the curve? What were my most glorious victories? Who thinks I'm great? Why do they think that? What sorts of activities make my heart thump with excitement? Where do I find myself excited where others aren't? Where's that inner dork inside me? What activities would cause others to giggle if they knew I actually enjoyed them? What out of the ordinary sorts of books, movies, websites, etc. do I especially enjoy? What are some of the most touching compliments I've ever received? What pieces of the Myers-Briggs really spoke to me, and which ones were kind of off the mark? What patterns and inferences can I draw from the answers to these innumerable questions Pete keeps asking me? You can also ask good friends and people you trust, both inside and outside your organization, to clue you in on what's up. In the performance coaching business, they call it 360-degree feedback. But you can go ahead and call it whatever you want, so long as you elicit honest feedback. The Fabulous Four. Perhaps many of your answers didn't seem all that extraordinary. They were just you. That is, they came naturally, and it was just no big deal. These activities come naturally because that's just how you work it. In other words, they flow through your mental preferences. To gain a bit more insight, we'll now dive into a bit of each of the Fabulous Four and see how each type has special strengths. As you read about other people's strengths, reflect on how you and your acquaintances match up with those descriptions. The emotions you have associated with such people are the feelings others have in relation to leaders who possess the described qualities. You may wish to reference the chart in the previous chapter to refresh your memory about each of the Fabulous Four. As we roll through each description, you'll see how the answers to your questions connect with one of the four types, why people find such a leader appealing, a story of the leader in action, and two techniques to sample that source of strength. Note, if you're a bit tired of the typology stuff, go ahead and jump to chapter 3 for some fun tactics to jumpstart your commitment to your organization. Jump back when you're refreshed and ready to ponder yourself. The Sensor Judge, SJ. If any of your responses had to do with your ability to knock out tasks and get stuff done, your strengths may flow naturally from the SJ preference. As you may recall, people of this mindset are extremely reliable. It's impressive when requests get delivered 100% of the time. There's a cool name for this quality: integrity. Unflinching integrity is at the heart of NestJ's strength. Because you consistently deliver on promises, your word gains power. Only say the word and it shall be done. People naturally enjoy following this sort of person because they realize that the time they invest is worthwhile. The human norm is to deliver on a commitment when it is convenient or generally expedient. When people encounter an SJ's reliability, they're naturally inspired. The time a person spends conversing with an SJ has greater value because follow-up will occur. With others, words may well hang in the air without action associated with them. People view words as something that precede action. So when action doesn't happen, they don't want any part of it. It's a dream to have someone always on top of things. Often these reliable souls find themselves in treasurer roles. With them, you will get a receipt, prompt reimbursement, and perfect information. You know exactly how much money is in the balance at all times, and it is kindly reassuring. Crystal describes her experience as an on-the-ball treasurer. Really what it all comes down to is being super anal retentive. I had to keep a tight budget for myself, and so I just applied that to my treasurer role. I like to run my life as seamlessly as possible, and part of my life includes Model United Nations. To tap into the power of the SJ, first take a good look at the strength of your word. How often when you say, I'll be there, or I'll do that, do you in fact produce the result? Many, when attempting to produce those results, encounter difficulty and stop dead in their tracks. For example, you call someone, leave a message, and then forget about it. If you think that you are not bad in executing that task, then you're probably right, but you're certainly not an inspiration. Begin focusing your awareness on all the tiny commitments that you make throughout the course of a day. How about, I'll give you a call later today. Yeah, I'll take care of that. I'll just email you a copy of the picture. I'll come back later. You'll probably notice that you say things to appease people when you actually have minimal intention of getting the job done. Try pretending that people are taking in your every word and they have full expectation that you will deliver 100% of what you say. Just imagine them saying, but you said... Write down even the smallest of commitments in your calendar, note card, organizer, hand, smartphone. Then revel in surprising people by actually following through on every single tiny commitment. Another way to get into the feel of an SJ is to take on a long repetitive task, such as mailing packages. Take a moment to experience the zen-like rhythms and quiet satisfaction from such labor. Let your whole self become enveloped in the task. Hear the scratching of your pen on the envelopes. Taste the envelope adhesive on your mouth. Feel the smoothing of the stamps on each packet. Get into the rhythm of doing the task. Just suspend all thought and get into the groove of making stuff happen. Welcome to the world of the SJ. The Sensor Perceiver, SP. You may have noticed that the things you do well are varied, but have one unifying theme. They're just fun. You dig diving into new things, and you tend to do well whenever you do. That remains the recipe for the Sensor Perceiver. Someone has to step out and try something new, and the SP is often the one to do it. We've always done it that way is blasphemous to the SP. If something is new and fun enough to keep the SP's attention, it will often also keep the attention of the group. The SP's enthusiasm for newness and fun brings a special joy to organizations. People often appreciate the SP's boldness and fun. The followers are not quite sure where he's going, but they enjoy the ride and appreciate the initiative that starts it all. Students are perhaps the world's greatest rebels and connoisseurs of fun. As such, we are drawn to the masterminds behind the new and entertaining. If you've ever had a truly inspired social chair, then you know the value an SP can play. Constantly recommending new activities, he brings people together. He creates laughter that enhances the whole experience of organizational participation. As one student describes her favorite SP, Jim's silliness provides a great perspective, especially when stress is high. His personality provides a reminder that you were there because you should be enjoying yourself. I wouldn't trade him for the world. Harnessing the power of fun involves a simple action you may have forgotten. Kid play. Parties and hanging out are great, but you have probably noticed that they don't bring the same thrill that genuine old-school playing like a kid brought. When was the last time you danced in the rain or splashed in a mud puddle? Pretended you were a superhero. Made yourself dizzy without the use of substances. Crafted a piece of artwork from Play-Doh. That's good stuff right there. Give it a shot if you need to loosen up to enjoy all the fun hiding in your organization. After you've tried being ridiculous a little bit, you may have enhanced acuity at identifying the ridiculous. Why does your organization do all the things it does? You'll probably find that there is some silly stuff done only because we have always done it that way. Rebel against a silly norm. Try a new approach or challenge the status quo. Take a little initiative and risk to try anything fresh. The intuitive feeler, or NF. People, people, people. Did you notice that the answers to most of your questions involved other humans? Do you especially dig interacting with these creatures? If you're just naturally bubbling over with appreciation for others, then your strengths may flow out of the intuitive feeler's set of preferences. People like feeling appreciated. Duh. Because the NF naturally appreciates others, individuals are often drawn to her. The NF rocks out at making people feel special, often without even thinking about it. Because she naturally inquires about the state of one's life and bubbles over with appreciation for tasks completed, people dig working with her. You can't help but feel warm and fuzzy. One NF named Philip found that making people feel special results in powerful performance. He shares a simple story and insight. Sam would not talk to anyone and would respond with short one-word answers when asked questions. I recognized Sam had a problem and I tried to help. I tried to be one of his best friends. Whenever I saw him, I would talk to him and make him feel important. Invigorated by those simple actions, Sam and the other shy guys began to blossom and contribute. With renewed confidence, the quiet ones rose up and became organizational VIPs who took on some of the toughest challenges. If you're looking to utilize the influence of the appreciator, then start appreciating. It may require you to drop the tough guy approach for a moment, but don't worry, you won't lose any street cred. Tell someone exactly how much you appreciate them. How did that person make your life easier? What were you worried about until it was magically resolved? What difference has this person made in the organization? Express it however you like, though face-to-face is a habitual method employed by the NF. You can also try the classy handwritten thank you note. E-cards and emails get the job done, but they are weaker expressions. Another exercise to assist you in using NF power is to pretend that you care about people. Now that might sound harsh. I don't mean to suggest that you don't care about people, but I'm recommending that you take it one step further. The next time you're talking to people you don't really know all that well, go ahead and take a strong interest in everything that they say. Lean in, nod your head, and focus your thoughts on what is being said, rather than merely waiting for your turn to speak. Ask them about the details surrounding each of their stories and for status updates on the assorted pieces of their lives. Note the interesting things that the person said. The next time you bump into that person, make a point to inquire about one of the important pieces of conversation from last time. You'll probably find that such inquiry is an extremely satisfying, warming way to relate to people. That's what it feels like to really care. The intuitive thinker, NT. If all your answers revolve around how you blast through difficulties, solve problems, and are just darn smart, you're working with the power of the NT. You may recall that these are the visionary intellectuals with a penchant for attacking questions until they arrive at a satisfactory resolution. NTs exhibit leadership in the most traditional sense of the word. When many people think of a leader, they are visualizing someone with a vision and the creativity to solve issues as they arise. People working underneath the guidance of an NT have a special confidence because they know that Mr. NT will somehow overcome any obstacle. Nirav is one NT whose brimming creativity really gets people going. While he was hosting a massive conference, he stopped at nothing to resolve problems. When the wireless internet didn't work, he duct taped routers to the wall for better signaling. When the copiers were too expensive, he combined the power of six personal printers to cut costs in line. He sums up his mental perspective succinctly. I am constantly pushing to find the best solutions because it means that you are working efficiently, and that leads to more time to focus on more important things. Seeing his ingenuity and commitment made those surrounding him take an extra moment to consider solutions before reporting problems. To momentarily step into the shoes of the NT, begin delighting in solving problems. Work on some of those brain teasers you see everywhere. Stay with them until you reach the solution. Take a trip to a bookstore, grab one of those books, and find a comfy seat. If you're feeling extra ambitious, pony up the dollars and take it home with you. And if one of your friends spots your new book and proclaims, "Oh, I love those," odds are that you're looking at an NT. Another opportunity arises when a friend gives you an appropriate problem. Carefully consider teaming up in a problem-solving process. Keep asking for the details and seeing what alternatives they have already explored. Identify the constraints and the true heart of the issue. Suggest solutions, people, and other resources that could make an impact on the situation. Later, follow up to determine how implementing the solution went. Note, be sensitive to when your friends are just looking for empathy over solutions. Sometimes people just want to let it all out. Let them. What now? Hopefully, by stepping into the different mindsets of four types of folks, you'll have a better appreciation for the reasons why students follow different leaders. In trying some of the challenges, you may feel frustration and think, "My mind just doesn't bend that way." That's fine. Let that experience inspire you to choose people whose minds do bend that way, so you have a balanced team. And if you're not strong at certain tasks, you have two choices. If you wish to embark upon a self-improvement exercise, then dig in and ask for as much help as you need. Working through these difficulties may be painful at first, but you'll emerge with better capabilities and an understanding of a new domain. It's sort of like lifting weights. By struggling through it, you get stronger. You might even find out that you enjoy the journey. If, on the other hand, your goal is to maximize the organization's output, try to get someone else to do it. The things that you struggle with probably come much more naturally to someone with the appropriate set of mental preferences. As such, by grabbing the task that you're uniquely wired to perform, you'll get more done out of the organization per hour of effort. Recap. Leadership appeal frequently stems from people's natural mental preferences and habits. Tapping into other strengths can expand your leadership repertoire. You may have already begun to imagine the beautiful things that can happen in your organization as you tap into your own strengths and begin considering the strengths of others. If you are not yet inspired, persist, because you will be soon enough. Indeed, the Gallup organization summarized the power of strengths in the book Now Discover Your Strengths and later StrengthsFinder 2.0, which provides a very useful assessment worth checking out. They surveyed over 2 million people and concluded that the crucial factor among high-achieving individuals is that they structure their lives around their strengths. Similarly, if you structure your organization around your strengths and the strengths of your membership, amazing results will blossom. When you organize your time and contributions around your strengths, you'll notice some extraordinary things start to happen in your organizations. Hopefully, as we've journeyed through this wonderland of introspection, you've come to learn a few things about yourself and how you operate optimally in an organizational setting. If you've taken the time to authentically engage with the material, you may find that you have a newer, more intimate understanding of who you are. On the other hand, if you did not take the opportunity to really tackle these introspective questions, you will want to go back and do so. If your organization doesn't embrace who you are, you'll likely feel slow, lethargic, and dull. Motivating yourself will be a constant struggle, and your results will be suboptimal. But when your values and strengths match your organization's values, magical things happen. All of a sudden, you're alive, enthusiastic, and passionate about what the organization is and your role within it. Your passion for the organization makes others want to join and invest significant pieces of themselves into it. When people see this joy, they want a piece for themselves. Well, that sounds sweet, but enough of the soft stuff. Getting to know yourself and how you operate is interesting, but may not seem to be of immediate value if you've got a lot of urgent difficulties in your face. While aligning your units to your organization will bring about a powerful internal drive, sometimes you just need a few tricks to nurture a force we call